Time for a new forklift? Well, let's kick the new year into high gear with a brand new Toyota forklift. Now through April 30th, you'll get up to a $2,500 rebate when you swap your old competitive branded forklift for a Toyota that delivers legendary efficiency. Don't wait. Trade up to Toyota now. Go to toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate to learn more or find the link in the show notes. That's toyotaforklift.com/trade-in-rebate for your $2,500 rebate. Hello, and thank you for being a listener. Before we get into the episode, I wanted to let you know about a special offer being given to the new warehouse listener. That's you. Mobile Robot Guide is offering 10% off just for you when you purchase the Warehouse Solutions Buyer's Guide. Just use promo code WarehousePod10 at mobilerobotguide.com. That's WarehousePod10. This is your comprehensive guide for all things autonomous mobile robots. That's WarehousePod10. And for more info, go to thenewwarehouse.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, coming to you with a new episode. On this episode, I'm going to be joined by Brad Gossard, who is the general manager of Regal Conveying. You may remember Regal. We spoke to them previously on the podcast during ProMat last year, 2019, when things were quite different in the world and we still had physical trade shows. But Brad's going to join us today. He's going to tell us a little bit more about Regal, what it is they do, about his side of the business, Regal Conveying. And then we're getting into a little bit about changes over the last 10 years, and then we're going to dive into changes just in the last couple months based on COVID and things of that nature and how conveyors can kind of play a part in that. So Brad, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
Definitely. Thanks for coming on. Happy to talk to you. Why don't you kind of dive in a little bit? Tell us about Regal, because Regal is involved in a lot of different kind of things. But tell us about Regal overall, and then tell us about the Regal Conveying division, which you're the general manager.
Okay. Regal is a $3.5 billion corporation, primarily based on electric motors and mechanical power transmission. Some of our primary brand names that people may know are Marathon Motors, Sealmaster Bearings, Grove Gearboxes, Browning and Morse Power Transmission, and the part that I am responsible for, which is the conveying, is our System Class brand. And we've been in business for over 50 years for Regal. Most of the power transmission has been in business for almost 100 years.
Okay, interesting. So definitely a long history there, and definitely a lot underneath the Regal umbrella. So tell us a little bit about on your side of things. It's more focused on the conveyors themselves, right?
Yeah, and conveying, mostly what we do in System Plast is has traditionally been in beverage conveying, which is very challenging. Mm-hmm. Conveying of bottles, which are very abrasive, cans, and then bottled water took the forefront in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And it's a difficult application, so it's a lot of materials that reduce coefficient of friction. But as we have conveyed things along, we came out with a new product that was a roller top belt. So it's balls embedded in the belt. So now we're basically taking a belt and we're putting the automation into the surface of the belt. They're omnidirectional balls. By using a divert belt underneath the roller top belt, You can transfer products at a right angle. You can pass them through, but getting a vector between the divert belt and the roller top belt, you can actually do diverts. And so for sortation, this has become is becoming a very popular product. And when you look at unit material handling and what it's done over the last 10 years, it's grown. If you look at MHI statistics, which is the material handling industry, or if you look at SEMA statistics, Conveyor Equipment Manufacturers Association, since the Great Recession, the unit material handling automation sector has grown at about 7 to 12% per year, nine out of those 10 years. And it's basically been based on increasing productivity and increasing throughput for customers in warehousing, distribution, parcel post. And those calculations of a return on invested capital to spend on the equipment were primarily based on moving things from a manual sortation using people or throwing people to sort things out to automate that process with vision systems and then sortation systems, some of them becoming very fast. And then about 4 years ago, the major parcel companies changed the way that they charge customers to ship packages. Previously, it was based on weight, and they realized that their constraint is the square footage that they have inside of a truck. And so they realized that a more appropriate way to charge is based on the volume of the package. And in doing so, that led to a transition away from boxes, where it had a lot of bubble wrap and peanuts and everything that we loved unwrapping, and has moved more to things like poly bags and to jiffies and to other types of packaging materials that have less volume, right, are easier to pack, but are much more difficult to convey. And so that's pre-COVID, that was the biggest thing that companies were facing on sorting out packages.
Sure.
Now, post-COVID, what's come up is the social distancing aspect of doing manual sortations is now become a safety issue. Right. And so instead of just looking at the productivity and the throughput, it's now become a safety issue. And as the e-commerce companies, as really people were moving more and more to e-commerce pre-COVID, as that was occurring, the natural trend was to hire more people. And even Amazon has hired 200,000 more people since the start of COVID to be able to sort things out. But now looking more at being able to do that with automation.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that, you know, you have a lot of great points there about, you know, especially over the last couple of years, automation has become just so, I guess, the norm, right? So many more people are getting into it, and it's becoming so much more accessible. But, you know, with what we've been experiencing with COVID and everything, with the people experiencing like peak-like volumes, I mean, it has been kind of a scramble in some cases for companies who have been hiring these people. And then because of social distancing, they've had to do this manual sortation. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, how are companies working through that? And how are they able to maintain the throughput, but also still keep the social distancing in mind?
We'll be back after a quick break.
The future of work is constantly shifting. How can HR leaders stay on top of the latest trends to better lead their global workforce to success? Serva Soundbites podcast explores current trends and the hottest topics around global employee relocation and the future of work. We connect with industry experts, HR leaders, and innovative thinkers to share their insights and stories. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your business podcasts.
Okay. Well, the thing that's interesting is that, and this was just in an article today in the Wall Street Journal, that only 39% of manufacturing and supply chain professionals said that their organizations use robotics and automation. That was a shocking number to me. I would have thought it would have been much higher, but they are the MHI is forecasting that in a short amount of time, and particularly because of the acceleration of e-commerce adoption, that in 1 to 2 years, that'll go from 39% to 58%, and they think within 3 to 4 years, it'll be 73%. Yeah. So there's a big rush to move to robotics and to automation to serve the rapidly growing e-commerce adoption. And so there's a number of ways to do that. You can do that through robotics, through automated guided vehicles, or you can actually do that through sortation conveyors. Some of the issues that customers have, though, is are you going to grow at 20% a year? Are you going to grow at 50% a year? Some are growing at 100% a quarter. And how do you scale that over time? You could go and buy a fixed system, but you'd have to oversize it, you know, to take care of future needs. Mm-hmm. So more and more conveyors, manufacturers, and the customers are looking for things that are scalable and modular. You know, how can I add, start off with 20 sort points, but add 6 more to that existing system next year and maybe 4 more after that? And we took that roller top belt strategy that we had and put it into a modular unit. We've got 8 sizes of that unit that fits into the standard widths of a live roller conveyor. So it's very compatible with retrofitting existing systems or building new systems. And then these modules just couple together and you can scale them by adding more modules in the future, and the controls for them just daisy chained together going down the conveyor. So scalability is important. Another thing that's important is noise. Mm-hmm. So traditionally, these high-speed systems went into the big warehouses that actually were fulfillment centers that shipped to the local cities. And their noise was not as critical. But now that you're getting these close to a lot of people, because now moving from manual sortation to the last mile to the pickup and drop off people, there you've got facilities that typically don't have maintenance people. So you're looking for things that are low maintenance. And also, they need to be quiet. Because most of them don't wear hearing protection. So you need to have something below probably 72 decibel. Yeah. We've been able to maintain that. And then also a conveyor needs to be approachable. And when I say approachable, it needs to be quiet that you can approach it, but it also needs to be safe so that you can approach it and not have any safety issues or pinch points or things like that. So what we use in the mod sort is the 24-volt DC motorized drive rollers to drive both the divert belt and also the roller top belt. And you can actually put your hand on the belt and stop it. So from a safety standpoint, using those 24-volt DC motorized drive rollers, that was our mashup together with the belt, the roller top belt, the divert belts. And we don't run them with sprockets. It's actually a friction drive, so it runs quiet. That fulfills some of the big check marks that customers have now for this final sort before the last mile.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm curious, actually, as you're talking about the mod sort, and I remember it from ProMat, seeing it there, on display. You know, how did the idea to utilize the ball system like that, how did that come about?
Well, you know, that's an interesting. We introduced the belt about 8 years ago and put it out into the market to allow designers to basically start from scratch and design it. And, you know, our byline was, you know, it's really up to the imagination of the designer. Unfortunately, that didn't unfold. So we decided we needed to do a mashup between the most common, safest technology that's out there to drive, and that is motorized drive rollers, and combine that with the belt, make it in standardized units so it's very easy to select, make it able to communicate and scale with other units in line. So it, for integrators and even for end users, it's a very easy product to install very quickly because it's modular and get up and running and actually get through acceptance testing pretty quickly. And it's being used in just a wide variety of applications. You know, at first, it really was the looking at the parcel and post and those applications, like the, you know, the obvious ones, UPS, FedEx, DHL, and then postal ones like USPS, Swiss Post, NL Post. And but now it's really migrated into a lot of different things. We have customers using them to sort out things in sporting goods, clothing, prepackaged meals, you know, kitchens that are preparing finished meals, moving glasses for prescription glasses, beauty products, certainly warehouse distribution, pharmacy, even in mail rooms at large campuses where they may have at a university 25 different buildings, but one main mail room, and they can sort out for all the buildings there. Again, all those things that were typically done manually are now being automated.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's great. So, you know, obviously there's huge benefits, right, to putting a conveyor in place in terms of throughput and efficiency from a business standpoint. But, you know, one of the things about manual sortation as well is typically there's some ergonomic issues that could arise. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the ergonomic issues that occur with manual sortation, and then how do you put the conveyor in place to kind of alleviate some of those issues?
Yeah, that really is a prime consideration for a company that usually doesn't get calculated. If you have people reaching across and pushing packages from one side to the other so that then the manual sorts can occur down line, ergonomically, that's, you're reaching out and you are pushing on something that's extended out from your arm. But when you think about taking something off of a conveyor belt, the absolute worst ergonomic thing that you can do for your back is to lift something off when it's moving on the belt and turn it 90 degrees and put it on somewhere. So back injuries, finger lacerations, those types of things, if you really look at what the costs are on the OSHA website for each of those incidents, they can be huge. And worker safety, not just the COVID safety, but safety from, you know, having a laceration or an ergonomic injury should be something that every company should consider when they're doing their ROI calculations. So we actually have developed a ROI calculator that allows an individual business just to put in all of their criteria for productivity, for throughput, for injuries, and actually get a calculated return on the investment of putting a new conveyor in. And everyone really should consider safety as one of the key elements and key returns that you get, because no one wants, everyone wants their workers to go home just as healthy as they came in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I have some really good points. I think in the beginning there, you said, you know, it's usually not something that necessarily gets thought of as an immediate benefit, right? And I think that it's important to highlight that. So I'm happy we could talk about that and, you know, kind of shed some light. And yeah, I think it's really a good thing, the ROI calculator that you guys provide as a resource. I think that can really help some people realize. And, you know, I think the people typically, you know, the decision makers in that situation of whether to, you know, get automated conveyor or whatever, you know, typically they're not out there then, and they're not pulling boxes off, like you said, of a moving conveyor at 90 degrees, right, and moving. So they don't necessarily realize the full impact of that movement. So definitely interesting. And I think that, you know, going to the automated solution is just better overall from a business standpoint and then from a worker safety and health standpoint as well. So kind of going back to the COVID situation. So you talked to us a little bit about, you know, what's happened over the last 10 years of material handling and then what's kind of been happening over the last couple months. But I'm curious, what's your view of what you think is going to happen in the industry, I guess, post COVID or in the next couple years? And what is the effect of COVID going to be in the long run?
Yeah, I do think that social distancing is probably going to be in the workplace, even in a post-COVID environment. If you listen to Dr. Fauci, he says that there'll be another one that will come after this. You know, who knows when and what it'll be. But being able to space out your workers, but also being able to equip our workers with higher level tools like augmented reality, like HoloLens glasses that will actually give them the work instructions, like pick to light and stow to light. Those can increase the productivity of the workers so that they're doing much higher value things than just reading a label and pulling it off, which can be done by a vision system and a sortation system. So I think one of the biggest opportunities out of this is to actually deploy our workers in more higher value tasks and equip them with the technology that's emerging again, like augmented reality and pick and stow to light, and be able to actually fulfill what is going to continue to boom, which is the e-commerce adoption. It was catching on pretty well before COVID, but the COVID has really driven people to e-commerce, and I just don't think they're going back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think at some point, you know, a lot of people had no choice but to do e-commerce for certain things because stores were closed. So, and I think that people are seeing the, I guess, the ease and convenience of it. And I actually, personally, I know I never had ordered groceries before online, and I started doing it during this, and I don't think I'll ever go back to the grocery store. Yeah, I think it's, you know, consumer behavior has changed, and I think that companies are seeing that, but also seeing the benefits, like you mentioned, of investing in automation now and getting newer technology to help them make this more possible and create, you know, and able to keep up with the demand, like we talked about. So definitely really, really interesting discussion and really interesting, you know, how, I guess, you don't always think of necessarily a conveyor being the big part of automation, right? Everybody's so focused on robots and things like that, but, you know, really a conveyor can be such a central point of an operation because it's moving so many things, getting things from point A to point B, and can make a huge impact. So tell us, how can people get more information about Regal and Regal Conveying?
Best way to get the information is our website, which is, our URL is www.regalbeloit.com. If I'm a big fan of YouTube and actually seeing things work and, you know, how it operates. So Very easy to go to YouTube and just put in Regal Mod Sort, and you can see several videos, including some customer testimonials on how they're applying the technology. So those are a couple of ways that you can do that. And then we have specialists placed around the country and distribution, so we can provide further information.
Okay, great. And we'll definitely post a link to your website on thenewwarehouse.com, and we'll find a cool video to put up there as well, so listeners can check it out when they read the blog post. So, Brad, thank you very much for coming on the show. Thank you for talking to us and giving us a little information about Regal, and also talking about the perspective that you guys are seeing for changes in the industry. Very interesting time. So thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Kevin.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.